You're listening to New Churches Podcast, a production of Send Network on newchurches.com. We discuss all things church planting. If you're looking to take your next step toward multiplication, you're in the right place. newchurches.com provides relevant and reliable resources for church planters, church multipliers, and disciple makers. Our growing library features pastors, planters, and church leaders like Ed Stetzer, David Platt, Matt Chandler, Trillia Newbell, Christine Hoover, Dehati Lewis, Trevin Wax, and many others.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the New Churches Podcast. We come at you regularly talking about church planting, needs of church planters, a lot of diverse conversations about different issues around church planting. So we're actually having a little fun. We're recording this from the studio at the Wheaton College Billy Graham Center. So those of you who are joining us by video, welcome. You're seeing the Stetzer Church Leaders Podcast background. Just ignore that. This is the New Churches Podcast. The worlds are merging in ways that will cause you to ponder deeply which podcast you're listening to. Those of you listening to audio, this is just the New Churches Podcast. Today, we're excited to have a conversation about, called Raising Kids That Don't Hate the Church. Raising Kids That Don't Hate the Church. I've got a co-host. I got a guest. I want you to meet both of them. My co-host is Michael Crawford. He's the Send Network Director for Maryland, Delaware, an LA native, graduate of Master's Seminary. In California, pastored church on the West Coast, moved to Baltimore, planted Freedom Church. Michael and his wife, Danny, have five children and live in Baltimore. We're going to talk about families today, so we're going to talk more about that in a minute. Thanks for joining us.
Be here.
Okay, good. So we got Janique Sanders is our remote guest. She's been a ministry leader for more than a decade. Her husband, Eric, location pastor for McLean Bible Church, where they live with their two young sons. Graduated NC State, communications, public relations degree, now helps run a D.C.-based nonprofit called FAST, Fight Against Sex Trafficking. Janique and Eric have helped develop church planners, send them from the church, and advocates for church multiplication in the capital region. We're going to get to our conversation in just a moment. We're going to talk about the good, the bad, the ugly of raising kids in a church planning context. But before we get too deeply into the conversation, there's a resource that will help you, I think. I want to mention that Noah Clifton, you've had past episodes, you heard me talking with Clint Clifton. Well, this is the 20-year-old son of a church planner. Noah Clifton wrote a helpful article called "Will Church Planning Mess Up My Kids?" It's a great question that many will ask. He overviews five things his parents did to help him love the church and the gospel. The article's over at newchurches.com. All of our resources are at newchurches.com, but you can also find the link in the show notes of this episode. Okay, before we get started on this topic, we need to introduce our families because we're talking about families. So, Janique, we're going to start with you. Tell us about you and get your intro. You want to tell more? Great. But tell us about your family as well.
Sure. Thanks for having me. I think you've already mentioned that I am married to Eric. He has been in pastoral ministry for about 17 years. And so together we have two young boys. We are still in the very youthful stage with our kids. One is three and he is going on about 30, and the other is 5 years old. So we still have no idea what we are doing when it comes to raising them, but we are typical millennials. And so we have lots of opinions that we are happy to share.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Okay, good. So tell us about your family.
Five kids, three girls, two boys, and the age range is 28 to 20.
28 to 20. Wow. Okay. So for me, girl dad, so three girls, they are all in college or grad school. So 18 to 23 is the age range, 17, 23, but about to turn 18, is the age range for mine. So Janique, I'm going to start with you. You and your husband were, until just recently, your church was portable, meeting in rental facilities, and you've worked with church planning families in a lot of different contexts and settings. What sorts of things, concerns, do you think church planning parents are thinking about or should be thinking about when it comes to raising kids?
Sure. Before I answer that question, just a note of relating with church planning families. Our church has been around for a while, but we have been serving a population where there are just so many young adults. And so up until about 5 years ago, we did not have childcare. And when we were getting that up and running, we started with my kid and maybe two or three others. And to get it started, we just put up a playpen in the lobby of a theater. And so anyone who entered our church building would pass our kids. Mm-hmm. The playpen was located directly outside of the women's restroom that had no door entry. And so we really gave our kids an entirely new sensory experience. It was great. So we definitely had some church planner vibes going on there. But man, concerns with raising our kids, there are so many things that come to mind. And off the top of my head, I think about just the perceived expectation of like having perfect children, like raising kids who can be the model child. And I mean, I'll say right off, like being pastor's kids did not exempt my children from having meltdowns in the lobby. It did not stop them from, you know, stopping running in the church lobby when we asked them to stop doing that. Like, they, just like us, are just sinful kids who are learning how to live their lives. And for them, they are just doing it with seemingly more eyes on them. And so I think that can be a concern for church planners as they raise their children. I also think of church planners who have moved away from family and friends. And I think about the revolving door that happens when you're planning a church. So people who are coming in and out of your homes and churches. And I think about that concern of like, how do I invite people into my life and my children's life who are going to be the people who become their family, who are going to be kind of like their long-term influences. I think that can be a concern. And then I just also think about ministry leaders who are rightfully doing so many things outside of their home for people in the church. So whether that is leading the classes or doing counseling calls or sick visits, there's just so much work to be done. And I think a concern that we've had and that we've seen is, am I offering more of myself to those in my church than I am to my own children? So like, will my service, you know, lead to lack of for my kids or resentment for them? Mm-hmm. All of those can be concerns for sure.
Oh, I think those are the right questions. So Michael, you're working with church planners, overseeing church planners in Maryland and Delaware. And it's a mix of contexts where people are planting. Some are harder than others, but all of them are going to have an impact on church planting families. So how are you advising families that are concerned about that impact of the context and the ministry that'll have on their kids?
Yeah, well, it's a legitimate concern that we all have, but it's about prioritizing and spending the time. If the outside community can have an influence in your children, well, you can too. And I think sometimes parents underestimate their influence on their kids because they're in the mix and they're seeing the limitations of their influence, and they overestimate the influence of the outside world. Okay. And at the bottom of all that really is a concern, but it's also a control issue, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, we as parents, we want to control the outcomes, but we can't. All we can do is take control of what we have and make sure that we are a primary source of good influence in their life. And those planners who are raising their children in challenging environments, there's all different types of ways that I see planters going about it, that we advise them to do. But planners can be very creative and make sure that things are being done together. You know, there may be some things that you do in certain neighborhoods where you let your kids roam and other neighborhoods where you got to be involved.
Mm-hmm. Where Freedom Church, where kind of neighborhood was Freedom Church in?
It wasn't a bad neighborhood. We were in a school.
Yeah.
I mean, it's Baltimore, so we had gunshots and murders in and around the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. So if you had gunshots and murders in and around the neighborhood, and that's not a bad neighborhood, what defines a bad neighborhood?
A bad neighborhood would be way worse than that.
Okay.
Open drug trafficking, sex trafficking.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. So it does where you are. Now, when we planted our first church in the inner city of Buffalo among the urban poor, we didn't have kids. So I didn't think in terms of that frame, but later work with a lot of church planters that have. And one of the things I think Janique said, I want to come back to Janique in a second, but one of the things Janique said that I think is really important too, is that part of it has to do with expectations, sometimes unfairly. I mean, you're kind of picture of the playpen and where everyone walks past is something of a metaphor of everyone walks past your kid. And I'm pretty aggressive about, I actually preach is that I don't want any jokes about pastor's kids. I said, you know, I don't think it's funny. I don't find it helpful. My kids are trying to figure it out, just like everyone else's kids are trying to figure it out. So I sort of tried to put some boundaries around that. So what are some, you know, and that's one of the ways that I would work that. So Janique, for you, how do you think in terms of like articulating to people or helping church planners articulate to people, church planning parents set their own kids up for success? What does that look like? For one, for me, it's like, I don't want to hear your jokes about pastor's kids. And my kid is on a journey just like everybody else's. And it's been hard sometimes. How do you make sure church planning parents set up their kids for success?
Yeah, I think, we're still in the very beginning stages of this, but I think it has to do with like making comfortable places for your kids to fail. So like I want for like if my kid is gonna, you know, mess something up, I want to be there to like accept them and walk them through that with grace. And I want to be careful with the ways that I talk about them with people who are in my church. And so I want to not cover up or downplay the tough seasons that we walk through with our kids. I want to share those, but I don't want to share it in a way where it is like a spectacle to like watch and see what this kid is going to do. It may be good and it may be bad. Like, I want to have those conversations with openness and with grace and make it normal for my kids to be normal.
Love it. And what guardrails have you and Eric put in place to make sure that your home is a healthy place? It's been a tough few years in particular. What guardrails have you put in place?
Yeah, man, I know that 2020 hit different on so many different people. But for us, when everything came to a halt because of the pandemic, I think we were able to look around and say, wow, we were just working at an unhealthy rate. And so for us, we began to put, some more boundaries up around the things that we would say yes and no to. So before, we were doing things out of our home or at the church almost every night of the week. And I think coming out of the pandemic, we set aside a couple of days of the week where we would have people over into our home. And when people are over into our home, I think we even rethought about the way that that looks. And so we say that now we want to be more hospitable than performative. And so if you come over to our house, if you know we're having dinner with you, chances are we're going to cycle through three different meals that are easy for me to cook. And my kids' toys are probably still going to be on the floor, and they're going to expect you to get on the floor and play with that stuff with them. Chances are, like, I'm not always going to take out my dishes. We might be eating off paper plates because, like, sometimes we do that. And so I think that we just resolved to, like, not be performative. If you're coming in, like, we want to invite you into the rhythms that we have as a family, but we're not necessarily going to shift them to you. And I think that that is like a true and good and Christ honoring way of discipleship.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Okay, Mike. So for you, different stage than Janique, your kids are leaving the nest or how many are out of the house?
All of them.
Wow. Impressive. Okay. My last one goes off to college in the fall, and we're actually moving to England. So that tells you something. Like, woohoo! Okay, just for a few months, not like forever. But your kids are leaving the nest, spreading their wings. As you look back with your time with your kids, most of those years as church planner, what did you do well? What could you have done better, do you think?
I was very present, and I utilized the fact that I kind of was my own boss.
It's
so
nice. Yeah.
I remember guys wanting to hang out with me.
Yeah.
And I would say, great, you know, meet me at my house at 2:30.
Okay.
And they say, why 2:30? I was like, because I'm going to go pick up my kids. Oh, well, I want to spend time with you. I know you're going to spend time with me. I'm going to show you how to go pick up kids from school. I'm going to disciple you. And then you're going to watch my kids get in the car. And then you're going to see how I interact. And you're going to learn how to be a dad. You know what I mean? So that I did well. I think protecting them, I think I did well. With the trafficking in and out, setting the boundaries. You know, when I think about some of the things I could have done much better, one of them is, and I still kick myself to this day. Mm-hmm. You know, when we first moved to Baltimore, my kids started making friends and we wanted them over the house, sure. You know, because we didn't know people and we'd have their parents. I remember one time we had like 50 kids in my living room. We were having basically kind of like a youth ministry, but it wasn't youth ministry. Mm-hmm. But back then, youth ministry wasn't cool. Back then, it was like reaching single young adults for Jesus.
Yeah, sure.
Was like the hot thing.
Right.
And all these kids. Yeah. So I literally let that slip out of my fingers.
Interesting.
That's my greatest regret in planting Freedom Church was I didn't focus on a youth ministry.
Yeah.
And I feel passionate about this. So today, when I hear your story, Janique, I tell church planters, they say, what should I do first? I'm like, do a youth ministry. They're like, oh, I need to extend my community. I'm like, you need to take care of your children.
Yeah.
You need to get kids in there. What about you? When you look back on your life, you think about, hey, what could I have done better?
Yeah. So three girls. I think a couple things that could have gone better was I didn't realize how challenging it would be at times. I told you it's probably the hardest thing I've ever done. And I didn't realize that my kids would struggle. And, you know, all of them struggled in different ways, some more, some less. But I think that I guess there was advice I got once when one of my kids was struggling. And it was from a friend who heard it from a friend who I don't know where they originally heard it from. But they said, you know, parenting is like getting in a boat. And you get in the boat and you start kind of right at the beginning. You just put the kid in the little basket. It's easy. It's in a boat. You got them self-contained. The boat's going slow down the water. And then they start the adolescent years and the teenage years. And man, it's like rapids. I mean, it's like rapids. And you're going to get through that the other side. And we're through that the other side with most, with the majority of the kids, 2 out of 3. So you get to the other side, but you want to get to the other side with the kids still in the boat. So my kid in the boat had issues, but I have a relationship with them all that's pretty significant and I think really healthy. But getting through the rapids. So there are times when it's like, they're so bad, the kids were bouncing out of the boat. The thing I had to do is keep the boat is the relationship you have in your family. Keep them in the boat. So in hindsight, some of the things that struggle, I didn't realize I struggled as much. And here's the thing that was really important for me. When I shared that struggle with other parents who were at the similar stage, oh yeah, it was very common to say, not everybody, but we had not that struggle, but a similar struggle. But since we don't talk about it, I made the assumption, the incorrect assumption, that everyone, it's just going great. And it's just like their kids are waking up every morning, having right. their quiet time, worship right. music playing in the background. But it wasn't. Now, you know, it's my kids' story. So you don't share, you know, right. even here, we're not sharing our kids' story and journey. But what I missed is how they would struggle and how, but what I think worked well is I kept them, so far, kept them in the boat. Because even if a kid does bad, if you lose the relationship,
yes.
you can't be there on the yes. other side of the rapids.
Yes. And to be clear, the boat is the relationship.
The boat's the relationship.
Because I think, you know, for some of us as parents, the boat is Christianity or the gospel or discipleship. That's not the boat.
No, I agree. Mm-hmm.
Our primary, I think our primary responsibility towards our kids is to be in a right relationship with them. God's business is salvation and right. spiritual things. And that's why the whole children's ministry for yeah. me, again, this is not a one size fit all. What I message my children when we didn't do a youth ministry was this church is really not yours.
Mm.
This belongs to adults and people who are concerned with theology and missiology and church.
Right, right, right.
You're an add-on.
Yep.
And I think when you incorporate the children, the message is this is our church.
That's so good.
You see what I'm saying? Yep. And I miss that yeah. opportunity to invite my children in and make them a central part of the church. Yep. And that's relationship.
My kids' favorite time of the churches we went to was the church plants. And so, cause we got them, we've got, you know, different phases and stages. So, you know, I remember Kristen going to set up chairs, you yeah. know, with us, you know, I remember, Jacqueline, when we come in, they'd set up for, they were greeters. Welcome. Yeah. And, you know, yeah. they get a little bit over the top. Welcome. You know, yeah. cause, they went to welcome to Moe's
and
they
kind of remember that
they're part of it. And they saw themselves right. as part of that. So Janique, your kids are still young. When they get the age of our kids, which probably seems like a very long time away for you, what do you hope they'll be able to say about the way they were raised and how are you working towards that?
Well, I mean, after hearing you guys say what you just said, I hope that they say, like, we kept them in the boat, you know?
Yeah. good answer. But, good answer. We give us more. I like that.
Yeah. But no, I was actually talking with my husband about this last night, and I love what he said. It's very simple. He wants for our two boys to say, like, they loved Jesus at home, too.
Yeah.
I think that there's just so many things that, you know, we do at the church or from a stage or, you know, on a video. And at the end of the day, like, I mean, our kids know the truth. Like, if we get home and we are not living the things that we talk about and preach to others about, then like, you know, are we really about being Christ followers? I don't know. But yeah, I think it's that simple. We just want for them to see the way that we love and serve the Lord at home.
I love it. Mike, last question on this episode. Sometimes parents are anxious about their children's future. What gospel truths do ministry parents need to be reminded of when it comes to raising kids?
This is hard not to be emotional about, to be honest with you. God is just relentless. And it's so funny being raised in the type of theological conservative backgrounds. It was so ironic that some of us in Christian tribes preach this sovereignty of God, except when it comes to parenting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then we're running around like God can't handle our kids.
Yeah.
I remember reading the parable of with the prodigal, and I remember God's message to me was, I want you to be like me. I want you to be the father to the one who's in, stays at home, and the one who leaves. Mm. And I want you to be predisposed to always welcoming them. Mm. And I think that's how God is with our kids. Our kids will never go anywhere or do anything or be involved in any behavior that is beyond the reach of the height, depth, width, and length of the love of God in Christ Jesus. I mean, that's the comfort that Christ has come into the world to save sinners. And the other thing that's so amazing is God's patient. I'm not. I have a timeline for my kids.
Yeah.
But God can save at the last hour. He could save in their teenage years. Yep. He could save them in their teenage years. They can fall away. He can bring them back. And so I'm confident in God's love for my kids. And I'm confident in the gospel. And I'm confident in what we've done. And if you're a parent and you've sown seeds into your children, you've loved them, exposed them to the truth, God's going to work all that out. We have to trust him that he has a plan, and he's going to do what's best. Hmm.
Our guest has been Janique Saunders, co-host Mike. Mike is with us and serving alongside in Maryland, Delaware with Church Planters, Mike Crawford. And thank you for listening to the newchurches.com podcast. I want to let you know about a new resource we're offering as well. It's an ebook called Building Your Core Team Models and Best Practices. I wrote it with Matt Rogers. You can pick it up for free, no strings attached, at newchurches.com. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the New Churches podcast, brought to you by Send Network. If you like what you heard, take a few minutes to rate and review us or share this episode with a friend. It's the best way to show your support. To find more reliable resources to start your new church well, visit newchurches.com.